Please be seated, and Joy will come and share the scripture with us.
Reading is from Mark 1, verses 21 to 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching, with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee.
Each of the gospel writers has different themes they want us to understand about who Jesus was and what it means for us. And I read several commentators this week who made the point that the first things that happen at the beginnings of each of the Gospels can tell us a lot about those themes, those theological claims the writers are making. With Matthew, very quickly you get the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew wants us to understand Jesus as the teacher, the lawgiver in the line of Moses, the new Moses, and the fulfillment of prophecy. Luke, with his words at the synagogue in Nazareth, proclaims himself as the fulfillment of Isaiah's vision, the one who comes to bring good news to the poor, liberty to the captive, and the healer of the sick, and the one who brings God's favor to everybody. And John, of course, John's always different, but John, one writer says, wants us to realize that Jesus brings unexpected and unimaginable abundance. And so the first sign Jesus performs in John is turning water into wine at the wedding. And then there's Mark, always dramatic. So Mark gives us, right here at the beginning, this confrontation. A movie script might be, let's throw in a fight scene right at the beginning, get everybody's attention. Now, I think we often have a really hard time with these stories about unclean spirits, exorcisms, healings, whatever you want to call them. There have been many people through the years who've tried to equate unclean spirits with mental illness, which can be very problematic, can't it? As we're trying to move away from stigma related to mental health challenges. But clearly in the first century, the idea of possession by spirits that were either labeled as unclean or evil was a common way that people understood a number of illnesses, physical as well as psychological. And what do we do with these healings? Jesus wasn't the only healer of his day, but the first few chapters of Mark are full of healings. And how do we hear them and relate to them? God doesn't seem to work this way very much in our own lives. Some of us have had experiences or know of experiences that we would claim as healings. But for many of us, much of the time, no miracles seem to happen for us or for those we love. We often long for healings, and they don't seem to come, at least not in this amazing, miraculous kind of way. Although a wood name, when I look around this room and look on screen, there are a number of you who 50 or 100 years ago would not be here if it weren't for medical miracles. You certainly wouldn't be walking with those hips you've got, or using that shoulder you've got, or all those things, right? So it's interesting. I kind of had this thought, like, have the incidence of seeming charismatic healings gone down with the rise of modern medicine because we've figured out other ways to be made more whole in our bodies. And we also know, I think, that there are healers and then there are healers. There are some doctors that don't seem to be much of healers, but they know how to prescribe meds or do a surgery. And there are other people, maybe doctors and maybe not, who know a lot about healing us from the inside out. And it's interesting, too, because you have to say, well, Jesus didn't heal everybody who was sick. No, he didn't. In fact, it really wasn't the main thing he seemed to want to do. He was about teaching and creating a community and helping people turn to God, but there kept being these people showing up in front of him who had these challenges. And so his healing seemed to be more signs pointing us, helping us understand God's compassion, God's love, God's tenderness. And in a religious culture that often saw sickness as a sign of sin or certainly uncleanness, a culture that focused on holiness, righteousness as being keeping yourself set apart, keeping the right foods, the right practices, the right rituals so you would be ritually clean, Jesus came with a whole different priority. And he broke through those boundaries time after time. His focus was not holiness. His focus was compassionate love. Commentator David Luce, in his writings this week on this passage, says that he thinks Mark begins with this confrontation at the beginning because he wants us to see and understand that Jesus was about bringing people, helping people reclaim or find in their lives the joy and the community and the purpose that God created them for. And Mark wants us to see from the beginning Jesus's spirit-filled authority. Because what do the people say about him? Twice in this reading, very short reading, but twice they say, wow, he has such amazing authority. He teaches with authority, not like the rabbis. It's not a dig on the rabbis or the scribes. Even today in modern contemporary Jewish teaching, the norm is you cite the great rabbis, the great teachers. Kind of like a grad student or any of us in college writing your paper and you're supposed to cite your sources and then you interact with those sources. That's the way rabbinic teaching normally goes. That's not the way Jesus taught. In fact, in Matthew's, I think, gospel is where he will often say, you've heard it said, but I say. Jesus spoke from his direct experiential knowledge of the divine, his deep lived into experience of the Spirit. He healed with authority, and in this passage, even the Spirit recognized him and called him out as the Holy One of God. And as there's theme in Mark's over and over again, Jesus kind of says, don't say that. And then he sends the Spirit out away from him. And the Spirit obeyed. Marcus Borg, in his writing book called Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, which is a good read, describes Jesus as a spirit person, a person with direct, personal, experiential relationship with the divine, one who knew and lived into awareness of the sacred, the realm beyond just this material plane. And Mark Borg says, spirit persons are known across cultures and religious traditions and across time. They are shamans, prophets, gurus, mystics, enlightened ones, wisdom teachers. I read this week, as I said to the kids, by one of the commentaries I was reading, a story about Desmond Tutu and about his spiritual authority. Back in 1985 in Johannesburg, when he was Bishop of Johannesburg, there was a huge riot happening, basically. A group of people had found a black person that they believed had become a police informer, and they had dragged him out and doused him in gasoline and were getting ready to set him on fire. And Tutu and another leader waded into that crowd, shouting no, and saved the man's life. He was able to do that because of his spiritual authority, because of his knowledge of the Spirit's will and purpose and his conviction, and the fact that even that angry mob recognized in him someone they felt had a right to speak to them. Tony's mentioned the Martin Luther King event Friday night at Ithaca College. Dr. King was unquestionably a spirit person. Someone whose direct experiential relationship with God gave him the strength and courage to do the work that he did, to speak out in the ways that he did, to fight for justice, to fight for freedom, with a nonviolent method grounded in love and compassion. So Mark reveals to us Jesus, whose authority is grounded in him's fact that he is a person in touch with the Spirit. He had a power deep within. It's based on his direct connection with the Spirit of God. And then, the gospel invites us to follow him. It's not just about worshiping Jesus. It's about becoming more like him. Remember that the word Christian, when it was coined in Antioch, was because they were saying their little Christ. They are becoming more and more like Christ. So we are called to live into relationship with the Spirit, into Spirit-filled living that gives us power and love and the authority to help us heal ourselves, heal those around us, and empower us to make a difference in other people's lives. So I think as we read this story, try not to get stuck on the unclean spirit or on these healings. Try instead to ask yourself questions like, where do we feel caught? What spirits not helpful might be possessing us, people around us, our larger culture, spirits of anger and fear and anxiety? What do we long to be set free from? And the second question, how is the Spirit trying to use us? Where are we being called to courageous compassion? Jesus called people to follow him, to become like him. We are called to let the Spirit live in us, work in us, open us up, empower us, so that we too live as Spirit people, people of power, people of compassion.